God certainly has a way of surprising us. Unlikely characters getting lead roles and improbable plot twists when the narrative seems predictable, even wordplay on expected tropes. Today's story has all three. Good television and exciting books really have nothing on the Bible. It has all of those things. Last week, we began the series Game of Judges, a month-long dive into the biblical book of Judges, discovering the good, the bad, and the ugly, an honest look at Israel's judges. Israel, who followed God's law, turned from it, fell into sin, begged for a deliverer, just like we do. Their story is our story. How do we break that cycle? We heard today and again, the people forgot about the way of the God they loved. Today's passage from Judges began with just that refrain. Cindy read it for us. And as the people forgot the ways of God, they began to experience oppression under the Canaanite king, Jabin. And the people cried out to God, and God heard their cries. If this was a stage play, it would then be, enter stage right, Deborah. Deborah, who held court under the palm trees, offered judgment between conflict, as well as spoke prophetic wisdom in military battle, and her wisdom extended across the land. The wisdom of the Lord rested upon her, and she shared it with others. She didn't keep it just to herself. We'll see some of the other judges who did that. I've got the word of the Lord, and I'm keeping it to myself. Deborah summons Barak, the general, to hear this vision of military victory that God has given to her. And he receives the plans obediently. Of course, God would give it to you, not a problem. And they make an unlikely pair. Barak is already competent and knowledgeable as a military general, but he's not the one whom God has chosen. In another story, he might have been the protagonist. He might have been the judge, the male military general. But this narrative reminds us that God doesn't always choose the one who we assume God will choose, the military male general. This narrative reminds us that the first female judges who we hear in this story, female leadership is also a gift and hands out a distinct way to also be a young man. Deborah's a visionary who accompanies Barak into battle and a general who leads the troops. It's a story of revising expectations and assumptions. The book of Judges resonates with us today because we too know a world in which there's sometimes violence. Often chaos, there's some political intrigue and oppression. Game of Thrones captured the imagination in the finale of 19 million viewers. I wonder how many of you might have caught it at different points, that final episode in May. The complex cadre of characters and an intricate series of plots, it reflects a similar world to the one in which the judges is inhabiting. One of the series arcs includes a family called the Starks, who carry the title of Lord Protector of the Realm. We talked a little bit about this title last week. And the family has multiple children, including a female child called Arya, shown from the beginning in taking interest and talent in conquest and in battle. And she nurtures this unlikely calling for a female child through training and real-world experience, read unlikely into all of this. And as she grows into herself, she receives a prophecy from a prophetess that is later fulfilled. I want to show you a little clip. I've been real careful to make sure this is a family-friendly and appropriate clip for us to share together that splices together season 3 and season 8. And again, no spoilers either for those of you who want to go out and watch it as well.
I didn't like that woman.
That's because you're a girl.
What does that have to do with anything?
Forgive me, lad.
What are you doing? Let go of him. Tell him to stop. He wants to be one of you. He wants to join the Brotherhood. Stop them.
We serve the Lord of Light. And the Lord of Light needs this boy.
Did the Lord of Light tell you that, or did she? You're not doing this for your God. You're doing it for gold.
We're doing it for both, girl. We can't defend the people without weapons and horses and food. And we can't get weapons and horses and food without gold.
You told me this was a brotherhood. You told me I could be one of you.
You are more than they can ever be. They are just foot soldiers in the great war. You will make kings rise and fall.
You're a witch. You're going to hurt him.
I see a darkness in you. Darkness, eyes staring back at me. Brown eyes, blue eyes, green eyes. Eyes you'll shut forever. We will meet again. Has been served.
I know you.
And I know you.
You said we'd meet again.
And here we are. At the end of the world.
Said I'd shut many eyes forever. You're right about that too.
Brown eyes, green eyes, and blue eyes. Say to the God of Death.
Not today.
I want to thank our AV folks. I'm really thankful to Keith and Mike for the work that they do. As well, putting pieces together. You may have a sense that there is a prophetic piece that ties in to not only this here, but also in the book of Judges, Aria receives a prophetic promise about her own leadership through the prophecy of Melisandre. She wasn't who they originally expected. They had not expected her to grow into a powerful woman of influence. You could almost hear a gasp as she finishes. Twists and turns in a plot as you watch a story unfold. The book of Judges is just this as well. Deborah promises to accompany the general Barak into battle. And we heard Cindy read, "The Lord would give your victory into the hands, not of you, but into the hands of a woman." Lest you think that Deborah is merely speaking pridefully about herself. The General Barak's victory is not given into Deborah's hands. But the king of the Canaanites retreats. He decides to rest in the tent of his friend, Hebar of Kenneth's wife, Jael. The Canaanites are relations of Moses' father-in-law, and Jael offers hospitality, as friends are apt to do to friends. And Sisera has something to drink, to rest in the tent. We hear the hospitality that is offered. And when all is at rest, this is the portion you should read a little later, Jael ends with a victory with a tent peg through his skull. I bet you didn't see that part coming. She fulfills the prophecy of the victory of battle in the hands of a woman in an unexpected, morally questionable kind of a way. The story continues in the next chapter as Deborah sings of God's greatness, how God moved through God's people in Judges 5. She does so in the same style as Miriam and Hannah, of David and the psalmist, as Elizabeth and Mary, each of whom sings of God who turned over the assumptions of who we know God to be upside down. God who feeds the hungry, who leaves the haughty and the proud still hungry. The challenging of our assumptions is not just have women had a place in leadership, but that there's more than one way to be a male in leadership as well. General Barak leads out of his strength to collaborate with others. He quietly redefines what his leadership looks like by increasing the forms of leadership, sharing the airtime, revising the role, and willingness to be curious about how God is leading him. The other day, we were walking back from the bus stop, and Peter asked me this question. He said to me, "Is Daddy older than you because he's taller than you?" I wonder if you've gotten this question before. You know, people who are taller must necessarily be older. I said, "No, actually, I'm older because my birthday comes first. That's the way it works." He said, "When I get bigger and I'm taller than you," he's already guessed this is going to happen, "will I be older than you because I'm taller than you?" He wanted to know. I said, "No, sweetheart, I'm always going to be born before you, no matter how much taller you get than me." You see, you and I often look up to those who are taller than us. Pun is intended here. The prophet Samuel was on the same page as Peter was when he first went to Jesse's tallest sons, looking for the new king of Israel. It was God who reminded him that God doesn't look just on the outside appearance. He also looks on the heart, 1 Samuel 16:7. As the Spirit of the Lord rested on the at that time small, and ruddy David. How many, I wonder, in Barak's day, wrote him off as general because he didn't act the way that they thought a general should or could or would have acted, and needed a Deborah to come with him into battle, and missed the very presence and glory of God. There have been those who left every single church I served before I got to that church, because they heard there's a woman, preacher, coming to that church, even though I've never been the first clergy person of a female kind coming to any church that I served. There are times, friends, that I introduce myself as the lead pastor in multiple churches, and folks say, "So where's the male senior pastor hiding?" But this isn't limited in any way to female clergy. Don't get me wrong on this thing. You and I, we imagine that God only works through a certain kind of folks. Those who are confident and well-accomplished, knowledgeable in every area we can imagine. And when you and I sense a tug in our hearts to send to help in some kind of way, we've sometimes told ourselves we can't help because we're not fill in the blank. We're not tall enough. We don't know enough. We're not confident enough. We don't pray quickly enough. The words don't come, you know, quickly enough. We don't, whatever your enough might be, we assume that it won't be enough. We carry those assumptions about ourselves and then also about others. Our sexism and racism and homophobia and anxiety and classism and our concerns, it all kind of takes over. We're sure that we can anticipate who God will use and who God won't use, who God will call and who God won't call. This spoiler alert I will use. God is not limited in any way by our assumptions. God used Deborah and Barak, both considered lacking by human standards, to be ideal candidates of leading the people of faith. God calls us to reevaluate our assumptions of leaders who speak on behalf of God that always have to look a certain way or talk a certain way or even act a certain way. God reminds us there's one specific thing that God requires. It's a heart for God. Everything else is negotiable. Deborah sat beneath the palms adjudicating disputes, and Barak led people into battle even when he didn't carry the skills of a combat general that others expected. When God calls you, whether it's to invite a neighbor to the open market or share a Bible study book, I want to encourage you to silence that inner critic. I'm just expecting you might have one. And step into the call that you've been gifted. Relinquish that grip on the assumptions that you and I all have about others. And open up that the Holy Spirit is moving among us. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.